Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. I'm still kicking up on my cowboy boots and all my big hair and my Dolly Parton fantasy because I'm still living and vibing off of Beyonce's latest Cowboy Carter album. I know it's 3 weeks in the running, but I'm digging and I'm vibing with it so hard. So, interestingly enough, I'm going to start off with some bad news. I found out yesterday that I had a package stolen from my porch. This is the first time this has ever happened to me, and I feel kind of weird about it because, you know, you don't ever want to feel like you've been violated in some capacity, and that's kind of how it feels to me. It feels like somebody literally just violated me. Like they, and the funny thing is, so I have like so many cameras all over my house, and so what happened with this was the person just came up out of nowhere, grabbed my packages, and then they just ran off. And so that's what I, so I'm gonna call and file a police report and whatever. And it's so interesting how that front door Cabell camera has just consistently been at the forefront of so much BS. And I think that is, it's just my life, honestly, these days.
So the latest scandal happening in the Portland drag community that happened last week was apparently with the HIV awareness title that exists in the community. There was supposed to be a step down and it didn't come to fruition, and I'm not sure why. I think that the two people who were reigning, they didn't complete their requirements for their step down. I think they were supposed to throw two different drag shows, like producing them, and they didn't do that, and so they were stripped of their title. This caused a lot of community backlash. This caused a lot of community outcry. There was a lot of comments that went back and forth about the promoter of that pageant and how they were really defending their right to be able to speak out on these issues. Where I think my stance, one of the comments that I was reading about it was, I think that there are ways to handle this stuff. I think when we take to social media to talk about certain issues, that we need to remember that it's also a platform for people to critique us and how we respond to certain things, right? So if we're responding to things publicly, that should be like left in a board meeting, like with your title holders and the board president or whatever of the organization, then that's where it should be left. Even if people go out and say, you have a right to defend yourself, sure. But if the people were just like, oh yeah, we're resigning from our titles or whatever, and you don't like the wording that they used, then, you know, just let bygones be bygones. Like it wasn't hurting anybody. And so even if they represented why they were leaving this role as incorrectly or inaccurately, I don't think needed to be course corrected publicly. A lot of times people don't understand that it's okay to just let people have their grace. And to be honest, it felt like it was a tactic to humiliate the title holders, to like, oh no, that's not why they're leaving. This is why they're leaving, right? And I think people really read into that and people really fed into that as much as they needed to. And so that's what was kind of hurtful, I think, and what caused a lot of the community backlash from what happened in that specific incident. Now, I don't know all of the key players involved in this scenario, but I think that if I was going to give advice to anybody involved, it's just that also attacking people online isn't probably the best way for you to handle a disagreement, because it wasn't like anybody was directly saying that these people are terrible people. It was just like, it was a conversation that just needed to be happened privately. And I'm hoping that people who were close to all the people involved were giving them their kindness, caring, and wrapping them in a friendship bubble to be able to communicate about those issues. I know myself personally, for all the incidents that I've ever been in, very rarely do people like reach out to me and like talk to me about what was happening and how it went. And I've had my fair share of episodes, as we always talk about, like as recently as a few episodes ago. So I'm hoping that that's what this was and people can help eventually move forward. Now, I did see something, which I haven't been able to verify yet, that It looks like the previous promoter of the pageant, which I believe was Alexis Campbell Starr, is taking the pageant back over, and they are going to move forward with it. I think that's what I saw. I'm not sure. But so it looks like it's still happening. And remember, this is a great cause for awareness. And, you know, HIV has affected the queer community for such a long time. And even though, you know, we have PrEP and we have all these tools and resources today and where people are becoming undetectable, you know, we all heard about the AIDS crisis. And so that's why organizations like this were really important at the time to give money and to put a spotlight on these issues in our community to where we could help people get the resources that they need. So I think it's important overall. One of the things that I had said online recently was that, so I talked about the concept of shiny hats. I said, I find it fascinating when people get so offended about the concept of pretty hat. I saw an ambiguous post written about me a while back that said my viewpoint was wrong because the shiny hat is a symbol of what a person has done for the community, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Most times the pretty hat is awarded from a contest of some sort, and then your year is where you do things for the community. It's kind of why I like the sweethearts, because you have to do for the community before being awarded the shiny hat. Also, I don't take those shiny hats very seriously because I've seen some of the most wretched and horrible things done to people in the community by those who wear shiny hats. I've also seen people who have changed lives and given their all. I've seen people raise thousands and bring attention to causes. I've seen folks' lives be changed by title holders who want to give back. I've seen children look up to these people as they make a difference. Bottom line, a shiny hat doesn't make you a good person or a good leader. I think that shiny hat just puts more eyes on the person underneath it. And I'm going to pause on this for a second because I know that this post was me directly countering something that somebody had said to me or ambiguously had written about me a couple of weeks ago. Because I think that, you know, I've been attacked by many different title holders in this community online or been bullied by. And the thing is, I don't think it always necessarily reflects negatively of the organization that person is with. But I do believe that when you have a title, you should try to honor the title and at least honor the title for the people that came before you. Now, I don't believe in necessarily thinking that I or anyone who has a current title is better than anyone else. It just means sometimes that they worked hard for it, or they won, which means they might have worked hard on their package, right? And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they are a better human being. It just means that they were better in this specific aspect, right? And so the shiny hat doesn't necessarily mean that this is a great human. And I think that people tend to get that conflated when somebody wins a title, especially if it's a community-based title. You always have to remember that people go through things and humans are humans. You should give people, even title holders, grace when they, you know, are going through things or not acting in the best of circumstances. But I think if people had good coaching and good boards or good organizations representing them, that they could help coach them to be like, hey, maybe the way that you're acting in this specific capacity is not necessarily the best. And so, like, having that kind of dialogue in some capacity, I think would be better, right? I think that would be better. Now, I don't want to necessarily throw my hands up and say that the way that I think about title holders is the way that we all should. It's just that I do know that being a title holder comes, you know, you're in a fishbowl. People have the ability to look at you and they examine your life and the decisions that you make. It's almost like they do with celebrities, where every decision you make is being judged or critiqued positively and negatively. And that can be really difficult for some people, especially having some of the issues that people have in their lives, right? Say you go through a breakup during your year, and you stop going to events or stop, you know, doing, fulfilling your duties, as they call it. And it could lead to reprimands or whatever, which makes you want to lash out and just say the organization isn't giving you grace. I don't like comparing having a title to having a job, right? A lot of people can, like, get through a difficult time to, like, put food on their table and have a roof over their head. When it comes to having a title and, like, extra responsibilities outside of the fact that you're just trying to breathe, can sometimes be really overwhelming. And so, all of this is just to say, grace on both sides and kindness is key, as I always say, because you can't necessarily know what's going on in somebody's life enough for you to judge it so outwardly about what is actually happening. And with that, listeners, let me know how you're doing. Let me know in the comments.
Are you ready for a brunch experience like no other? Step into a world of glamour, laughter, and fabulousness at the Epitome Drag Brunch. Join us at Underbar, located at 1701 Half Broadway Street, Vancouver, Washington, 98663, for a spectacular event hosted by the one and only Coco Gem Holiday. Doors open at 11 o'clock a.m., but trust us, you'll want to arrive early to secure your spot for the most amazing drag brunch experience around. Picture this, the delectable brunch dishes, bottomless mimosas, and the electrifying performances by some of the fiercest drag queens in town. It's an extravaganza you won't want to miss. Epitome Drag Brunch takes place on the fourth Sunday of every month, so mark your calendars and get ready to slay. And here's the best part. Tickets are just $15 for pre-sale, but act fast because they go up to $20 at the door. Visit www.vancouverdragbrunch.com to secure your tickets today. We believe in inclusivity and community, which is why we offer three community tickets for those who want to join in the fun but might need a little extra help. Everyone deserves a chance to experience the magic of Epitome Drag Brunch. So gather your friends, unleash your inner diva, and join us for an unforgettable Sunday filled with glitter, glamour, and endless entertainment. See you at Epitome Drag Brunch. Epitome Drag Brunch, where every moment is a celebration of individuality and fabulousness.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners. So in this part of the segment, I wanted to talk about there was a post I read online by one anonymous that talked about their first year in drag, one of their first few years in drag by a producer who took advantage of them. And I'm not going to necessarily say anything negative about that producer because I think I figured out who it was. But it was actually a really good conversation starter about your first year in drag. So what Anana had said was that during their first year, a producer was like, hey, if you pay me $100, I'll get you booked and I'll get your name and poster. Like, I'll help you out with your first year pretty much. And Anana was talking about that as being taken advantage of because that producer never helped them get into shows. They didn't really do anything for them. They pretty much just took advantage of a newer producer. And that's what Anana was talking about and how they will never support this person because of that. And I know my first year in drag, I got kind of the reverse treatment. Like, a lot of people didn't necessarily see a lot of value in me, and so I had to work really hard for everything that I got. And I remember being told, I remember one time I was at a bar and the show went really bad, and the bar owner and the drag queen got into this like huge argument, and the bar owner, they said, we're leaving, we're never working here again. And the bar owner reached out to me and they're like, well, hey, we still want to do drag shows. I just don't want to work with that person. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, I might still be down. And so I went into doing that. And of course, that person was like very betrayed that I did that. But at the same time, we weren't really great friends. They were just the only person that was really doing shows at the time. And it just, I remember being so hurt that people just expected you to do and operate in a specific way that you didn't necessarily have any control over. It just didn't necessarily make it fair, especially when other people are dictating your life. Like, I always talk about that first time when I had a friend when I first moved here that said if I ever performed at a show in town that they would never talk to me again because that person was trash and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, and I had just moved here, so, you know, you don't really know who anybody is. Like, I'm not one of those people who bases my reputation on anyone ever, on, especially not celebrities, sure. They're a different thing. Like, that's almost trading cards. When it comes to real people, it's like, oh my God, you should never work with this person. Like, I can't believe that you would even think about it. And it's like, well, that seems a little odd, right? That seems a little odd because that, like, when we're in a community of people and a community of performers, when you are that, like, strict about how you operate and move in the community, especially for somebody who doesn't have the same experiences as you, like, that just seems a little unfair to, like, judge them that aggressive and judge them that harshly. It actually reminds me of a situation I had recently where somebody was actually judging me based on the fact that they just appreciated my husband so much too. And I think that there's this thing where that I see happen a lot in Portland where I know that we're all just trying to do our best and like do what we can to like get by and be successful as humans and like work on our mental health and be good people. But I also recognize that there are literally just sometimes people don't know how to communicate well with other people. And sometimes there are misunderstandings, but like there is a time when people really just don't have it in, just don't have your best interest at heart. And so going back to what Anana was talking about, my advice for newer artists is to make sure that you are keeping your head above water. Make sure you're keeping yourself where you need to be and learning all you can so you can, you know, be that person that is successful, to be that person who doesn't get taken advantage of. It's just really difficult. Especially, I will even say, the cuter you are when you first start out, it can also be a bigger issue because sometimes people are very, 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 they might have some double meanings and double motives. So I'm just throwing that out there. I know that the sound has been a little kooky this episode, so I'm actually going to kind of end it here. I couldn't get the sound fixed or working enough for you all. I'm so sorry about that. But keep be on the lookout for next week's episode. Hopefully I'll figure it out or figure out what happened to my microphone. I know that there is some other tea and drama that people wanted me to talk about on this episode, but I'm going to save it for next time. Or maybe I'll do a bonus episode. That's it for now, everybody. Bye. Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.